Right, we got to get working now. Let's go. Hey, first.
Live from the AM 1300 The Zone studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Friday Night Countdown. Everything high school football in Central Texas. Let's get to it. Here's your host from Texas Sports Monthly, Russell Dowden.
Welcome to the Friday Night Countdown. It's week five in high school football and all things football here in Central Texas. And I'm TJ McLoone's back with us this week in the studio. Hi, TJ.
Off of 1 week hiatus. My apologies for missing out last week and bashing. Just in my glory of predicting correctly Texas over USC. I'm sorry I was not here to bask in my glory. My apologies.
And you would have picked, of course, TCU over Texas.
Oh, no doubt. I am as everyone knows here on the 40 acres, I am nothing but a huge Texas homer, always.
So I'm having fun that you're eating that in the last couple of weeks. But
I know. I love eating my wins. I'm like Jameis Winston. I eat the W's.
So TJ's back. Hunter's gone this week, but Steve is still here. So how are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, thank you.
And we'll do a coach's corner. This week you did...
Bette Bryden of Regents this week, yes.
Yeah, and so our coach's corner will be with Coach Bryden come after at the end of our first break later today this evening. And the weather's looking good, so I don't know if we're going to get rain for once.
No rain, which is good. But we're getting some fall weather, some real fall weather.
It's starting to feel like football out there.
So it
won't
be 9,000 degrees when people put the pads on. So I love that when they go to a temperature, it's like, oh, it feels like 95, but on the field, 1,005. It's like, why is there such a difference between on field temperature to like where you're up in the stands?
Well, what it is those little black dots. All those field turfs they got now. Yes. There's all little black dots. They attract all the heat. That's why
on field
temperature is a lot
hotter. I always
hear
that whenever you wear black, you do attract heat. So yes. That does make a lot of sense, and I get that. I'll buy that.
Well, we have week five this week with lots of games to cover. There was a couple last night, I think. I was reading online here.
Yeah, a couple games. Nothing too serious, but we had Aikens beat Del Valle 21-14, and Bastrop get the dub over Pflugerville Weiss 19-7. So none of those teams are going to win district, but everyone wants to make the playoffs, you know. Four teams make it, so there's opportunity there, you know, even if you're not a team that is out there with, you know, the bigger aspirations. And for both those teams, for Bastrop and for Aikens, those are big wins in that regard.
Some of the districts, Steve, had district play started earlier for some schools than everybody had district start last week, right?
Right. Well, for the bigger districts, yeah. I mean, well, Westlake Westlake and Lake Travis started 2 weeks ago.
25-5, And you know what? I was wrong when Bowie played Westlake. That was a district game 2 weeks ago, and I thought we called that wrong. I thought it was not a district game.
Oh, okay.
Fact check on from 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that was district started for 6A 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but Aikens being Del Valle was a little bit of an upset. You know, Aikens, they started their district schedule with Westlake and Lake Travis off the bat and just got walloped. And so I guess they had some anger to take out, and you know, they say
took it out on Del Valle.
And you know, remember 2 weeks ago we were kind of Aikens. They decide not to run the clock in the second half against Westlake, and we're all like, this is why they did it. This is why they did it. They needed those reps.
Right.
They took down Del Valle. And then Bastrop, you know, this is a nice win for the Bears. Bastrop was playing, you know, we had the split in 5A this year, where before 5A was just all together, and then you would split the teams come playoff time. Top two enrollments play D1, top bottom enrollments play D2. They split it this year, whereas 5A D1 and 5A D2. So Bastrop last 2 years was in a 5A district with Georgetown and Hutto and Cedar Park, schools that were really a lot bigger than them because there's a pretty big wide range of discrepancy between the bigger and the smaller 5A schools. But now they split them. Bastrop's in Division II against schools that they can really compete better with.
Elgin, Leander, Marble Falls.
Right, so they're 3-1 now with the win against Weiss. And yeah, I mean, them, I think, you know, Leander Glen and Brenham, those are the other two teams in that district that I think are going to be playing for potentially the title at the end of the year. And yeah, Bastrop, again, in the old district, you know, just making the playoffs was the goal, but maybe they have bigger goals this year, you know, and a 19-7 win over Weiss was a great way to start the league slate.
Yeah, and then you've got in that District 12, Dripping Springs moved over with Seguin into what was the old 25-5A district of all the Austin schools, and Dripping probably making the case for that district this season, Steve.
Oh, they're definitely the favorite. As far LBJ and McCallum would probably be their biggest competition. McCallum's now lost two in a row. They fell to they lost to LBJ last week. We had a big game there that between maybe that would be the second, third place teams. And LBJ took it to them 41-7. They outgained McCallum 474-197. It was 34-7 at the half. I mean, McCallum just couldn't get anything going against LBJ's defense. Knights had only 3.1 yards per carry, 3.4 yards per play. Brian Batts for LBJ was 7 of 12 for 198 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and had 66 yards and a touchdown on the ground on 10 carries. So LBJ seems like the team that's most likely to trip up Dripping Springs now.
And they meet that week of the Battle of the Lakes game. That's Friday, October 12th. Yeah, so that's a game that we need to be also covering, too, I think.
There's quite a few games that night.
It's a bit of an undercard.
Yeah. Hey, the 12th of October is a good week, because that's again, LBJ and Dripping. And that game, let me see, is at Dripping.
All right, let's get some catfish.
So the catfish is on the menu.
You guys go to that lower game. I'll hang out with the big kids and the big boys and go to Westlake with Travis. I enjoy going to main event games, and that's the one where, you know, you get the most crowd there, the sellout. I mean, I bet that game's already sold out, like Travis and Westlake.
Yeah, I think so, pretty much.
It probably is, and I know that we've spoken with Claudia over there, so we should be covering that one from the field and in the press box where you'll be. But that's a big game. And then Dripping, who they got this week, it looks like they're on a bye, Dripping. Are they?
Yeah, they are on a bye.
Yeah, they're not on my schedule for this week.
They got the bye. And, and then they'll be McCallum and LBJ back-to-back after that. So, they're going to take some time, watch some tape, figure out what they got to get better at, you know, rest up a little bit.
So later in the broadcast, we'll be tossing it over to Joe Taylor and those guys. They're at Lehman.
Okay.
This week, Westlake. So it should have.
That game's going to be over before it even kicks off.
They won't have too much trouble with that one, I don't believe.
Don't think so.
And then who does the Cavs have this week?
Austin High at House Park.
Coming off. A boat racing against Westlake the week beforehand. I think they lost 57-0. Now, before the show, we're talking about Lake Travis in this one. I just, without looking up any information and just blindly predicting, saying 71-0 Lake Travis, and then seeing what happened last week with Westlake against Austin High, I feel pretty good. If I put a point spread out of 65.5, they would cover it.
Yeah, they might.
You know, that game didn't even finish. That game had lightninged, and they just decided to end it.
The lightning struck, Coach Dodds and the team took the field against
Austin High.
But let's talk about the rain. You know, some of the lightnings we had last week. You know, my game, Vandegrift Hendrickson.
Oh, yeah, you didn't come.
We got delayed almost
back
about an hour
till midnight.
And a half.
Really?
Vandegrift was up 26-20, and they were about to kick a field goal that would basically put the game on ice, put them up 9 with like 3 minutes to go. And then suddenly the Lightning hit, you know, and it's interesting too, because the Lightning actually hit like 3 or 4 plays before that, and I'm in the press box, and you kind of, like, the people, like the organizers that are behind, and you can hear someone like, Lightning just struck, need to stop the game, and like, no one's really doing anything on the field, because they don't want to stop the game, there's 3 minutes left, they want to finish the game, they're football players, you know, and Todd Raymond, the athletic director, ran onto the field, and finally got them to finally pause the game, and it happened right on fourth down with this kick. Got delayed an hour and a half. Finally came out, and kid made the field goal to pretty much put it on ice. And then also,
and that game was the what game was that again?
That was
Vandegrift.
That was Vandegrift.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Vandegrift. So, yeah. Oh yeah. Vandegrift lost that game. Yeah.
I know.
Vandy, man, they are doing something in that district.
Dude, they really are. I mean, look, Cedar Ridge and Hendrickson were supposed to be the two big bad boys there, and Vandegrift has knocked them off back to back start the year. So.
It all started week one when they took down Cedar Park. It all started week one.
They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. Yeah. You could tell they did not look at themselves as underdogs going into that game.
Well,
last week,
that too.
Know?
Like, you want to start off hot.
Yeah.
So when you take down a team like Cedar Park with two back-to-back undefeated seasons and two back-to-back state titles, and you go in there thinking, if we can take down them, Lord knows who else we can take down.
Yes,
that
sir.
Sets the tone.
Yeah, then you start playing with that confidence and earned confidence.
Right.
You know, you have that swag and you earned the swag. I have a real problem with teams like walking around with swag that they didn't actually earn, something that University of Texas
that's right.
Does maybe a little too much, but you know, Vandegrift, they earned that swag week one and they've been walking around with it.
You guys are taking shots at my Longhorns?
I was going to take a shot at the Dallas Cowboys because I thought I saw
both of you were wrong the last around. 2 weeks on the Horns.
I have a funny story about the University of Texas and swag, okay? So I got to go to Big 12. I got to go to Big 12 Media Days back in 2012, I believe it was. I was working in Laredo and me and my brother convinced our boss to let us go to Big 12 Media Days and do like a Texas college football tab. Like, you have your high school tab. We had a college football tab on just the Texas school. So we went to Big 12 Media Day, and we kind of split it up. I did Texas and Texas Tech. He did TCU and Baylor. And so they're in that part of the Media Days where, you know, they have five coaches out at a time, and it's kind of like freewheel. Everyone's going for him, you know? And so I'm with Mac Brown. Everyone's surrounded by Mac Brown. Because Mac Brown, him and Bob Stoops were the guys everyone wanted to see, and they were in two separate.
For Big 12 Media Days.
And so everyone was surrounded by Mac Brown. And I was standing behind him. I'm like on his back right shoulder, so he can't even see me. And me and my brother prepared some questions, and neither of us are Longhorns. So we came up with some questions that were a little difficult.
Just some tortillas in your back pocket.
Yeah, so to say. And so I asked him, I go, Coach, how has the attitude of the program changed over the last few years? This was following, not after the 5-7 season, but the year after that. So it was 2 years removed from losing the national championship in Alabama, 1 year removed from the 5-7 season. But I'm sorry, but everything Mac Brown built fell apart in that 1 year. It really did. And they never built back up. So I asked him, how's the attitude of the program changed
since
then?
Garrett Gilbert's year?
And he turns around and he looks at me. I swear to you. Just glares at me.
Death staggers.
Like, looking at me like, who is this rookie kid? Who is this rookie journalist asking me this question? And he responds to my question with another question, which that's when they're challenging you, you know?
Yeah.
So you go, what do you mean by attitude of the program? I don't know what you mean by that. And I was kind of caught off guard, too, because I was pretty young. And I was like, oh, crap, you just asked my question.
You got that lemon.
And so I kind of just, well, you know, a couple years ago, you're on the national championship game. You know, you hauled a lot of swag. You know, where... you know, what's going on now or something like that. But I mentioned the word swag, you know, and he goes, well, you know, we lost a lot of swag in that 5-7 season, but we got a lot of that back last year, you know? And then he goes on this is no joke. He goes on this thing about how that off season they had these shirts made out. And right. You know how coaches, they're big on the acronyms,
right.
You know? So they had some acronym and one of the letters was S. And the word was actually for the letter S stood for swag. And he went on about how they're working on their swag that offseason.
All right, well, the swag is back on the 40 acres after a couple of wins.
But how do you work on your swag?
I don't know how you work on it. But you got to win a few games.
Look in the mirror.
Win a game on the road.
Win a few games that you lost.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. You got to earn your swag. You can't work on swag. Just go out and win, and then...
We'll talk a little more Horns after the second break.
Random tangent.
That was all right. Nice.
No, but that's all right. That's good stuff.
We need to talk about Dallas Cowboys swag, too, because lordy, that team is in the dumpsters.
Well, let's finish up some high school.
Yeah, let's get back to weather, though, because, you know, that wasn't the only game where a big kick was led by their Kittings and Cameron Yeo got delayed with 2 seconds left, and Giddings about to attempt the game-winning field goal.
Oh, talk about icing the kicker.
But here's that's what everyone says, but here's the thing. It didn't work out that way at all because I saw this in the Vandegrift-Hendrickson game. What happens is you go on the delay, and then you have a 10-minute warm-up period between the end of the delay and the resume of play. And so I saw this in Vandegrift. Actually, so what happened is Vandegrift just went out there. They set up the holder, set up the snapper, the holder, and the kicker, and he booted like 20 times in a row. You know, got like super warmed up. And I'm guessing that probably happened in the Giddings game too. So it really wasn't icing at all. And in fact, it was probably like a huge benefit to get that rain delay.
You get to roll the kick
20 practice snaps.
20 practice snaps before you
get the game winner. Giddings made the field goal. They're 4-0 now. And by the way, Thomas Jones, the Austin American Statesman, a great story about the Giddings Buffaloes just the other day. Everyone should read it if they get the chance. Go online. They do a great job, the Statesman.
Statesman.
I haven't given them some shout-outs. I met all those guys, Thomas Jones, Rick Cantu, Chris Bills last year. They're really nice guys, and they do an excellent job. I mean, I get a decent amount of my information I get from them. Right. I mean, they really
do. Write your great stories in Texas Sports Monthly, right?
Yes.
That's, of course, that. Shout-out Texas Sports Monthly.
Texas Sports Monthly.
Yeah, our new cover for October is going to feature that Battle of the Lakes. We got some good stuff we're working on. We did a story on... St. Andrews and that Saints group, if you all, St. Andrews and St. Stephen's.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Those guys had combined their teams, and so we did an interview with them. What else do we got cooking? Longhorn stuff, Texas OU.
Cedar Park. They rebounded. So I'm starting 0-2, now 2-2. Big district game this week against Roush.
Yeah, they beat Katie Cinco Ranch last week, 14-13.
Yeah.
Defense really showing up, you know. They held Cinco Ranch quarterbacks went 3 of 17
Oof.
Against Cedar Park. So they shut down that passing game, and they averaged under 5 yards per play. You know, for Cedar Park, it looks like Ryder Hernandez is now the guy at quarterback. Fiala was the day one starter.
Right.
He got hurt or something, and Hernandez was 28 of 48 for 276, two touchdowns, no picks. And also, the return of Brandon Breed last week was really big. I mean, right. Brandon Breed was a big player for them last year. 100 yards, two touchdowns against Hutto. He had 8 catches, 149, two touchdowns in his first game of the season. He's going to give someone to balance out Carson Neal out wide.
Well, we'll talk a little more high school football and get into some of these games tonight. Who Georgetown, Cedar Park, continued on that. Pflugerville, we'll get into some other scores from the other night. We'll talk a little Big 12 football after the break, and then we'll go into your Kirch's Corner right after this. AM 1300, The Zone, the Friday Night Countdown.
Mr. Tramp's Sports Pub is your home away from the man cave. Join us on Saturdays for college game day. UT fans are welcome and receive a free appetizer on game day wearing Horns gear. Mr. Tramp's offers great food, huge screens with sound, daily specials, and the best happy hour in North Austin. Check out our NFL action all day on Sundays. And Cowboys fans, when you show up in blue and white with a party of two or more, you receive a free appetizer. Mr. Tramp's offers special event seating for hosting private events and team meetings for sports groups. We host watch parties for the Tennessee Titans, Dallas Cowboys, and our home of the world champion Philadelphia Eagles.
That's the Eagles Nest, Cowboys fans. See you November 11th for the NFC matchup on Sunday Night Football.
Mr. Tramps is hosting a huge Halloween party this year. Come by Saturday, October 27th for great Halloween specials and live music from the B Vandals. Dress up for all the fun and the best sports in North Austin. Mr. Tramps, where North Austin goes for sports. 8565 Research Boulevard at Fairfield Lane. Visit us online at MrTramps.com.
The Friday Night Countdown on AM 1300 The Zone is sponsored by South Star Bank, offering mortgage and construction financing, commercial lending, and a full line of competitive deposit products. Learn more at southstarbank.com. Member FDIC.
Jen's Mums is currently taking orders for your school's mums for homecoming and prom season. All of Jen's Mums are handmade to order. Custom garters start at $40. Single mums begin at $50. Doubles are just $75. And triples are $100. Visit Jen's Mums on Facebook today to complete your order. That's Jen's Mums on Facebook. Or call in your order today. That's 512-496-5510. That's 512-496-5510. Please allow 72 hours for most orders. Call or visit today.
The Friday Night Countdown is sponsored by Absolute Propane, offering cylinder filling station, propane cylinder transportation, storage, and use. Absolute honesty, absolute integrity, absolute passion, absolute propane, and all that we do. That's Absolute Propane. Visit online at absolutepropane.com. Go Roberts Power Wash is a proud sponsor of Texas high school football. Specializing in residential driveways, walkways, solar panels, pools, cars, boats, fences, gutters, and grills. Commercially, Go Roberts Power Wash also supports parking lots, sidewalks, patios, fences, roof gutters, marinas, boats, cars, and more. Visit online at GoRobertsPowerWash.com. That's GoRobertsPowerWash.com. Jason's Deli Westlake welcomes you every day at 3300 Bee Caves Road. It serves bigger choices of better food for all four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and football. Feeding school spirit, it's a family thing. Visit jasonsdeli.com. Jana Birdwell is proud to support Central Texas High School football. Your global real estate advisor, Jana, has unparalleled work ethic showcasing luxury, waterfront, and new construction homes in the Austin and Hill Country area. Jana Birdwell is part of Cooper Sotheby's International Realty. A native Texan, Jana offers extraordinary luxury marketing for your home or help looking for that perfect view under the Texas blue sky. That's Jana Birdwell, luxury real estate redefined. Call Jana Birdwell, 512-784-8600. That's 512-784-8600.
The Coach's Corner.
Gonna learn today.
Sponsored by Texas Sports Monthly.
Hey, y'all. This is Steven Ryan with Beck Bryden of Regents. Coach, the big public schools get most of the attention, but only Lake Travis has won more than the 5 state titles y'all have earned. And y'all have only been a varsity program since 2000. How would you describe the region's football tradition to an outsider who maybe isn't familiar with it?
Wow, you're swinging for the fences on the first question. That's a great question. Man, we try to have our entire athletic program at our school. We want to compete for championships like everyone else in every sport, every boy's sport, every girl's sport. Football happens to be one of those. I also think that it's not coincidental that our most successful programs have the longest tenured coaches. Right? There aren't many schools in Central Texas who have had the same coach in place, you know, for 18 years like I have been here with our football program. And when you have that kind of tenure, you have the timeline you need to build a program that you think can be successful, and then actually work it out in the lab, right? Work it out in the laboratory. So it takes a while to build something that's sustainable. It takes a while to build something that's successful. And, you know, by God's grace, you know, the school's given me the patience and bandwidth to build that thing over time. And so I don't think that's necessarily unique to Regents. I think that any school that has that kind of patience and that kind of stamina to look forward and build a championship-level program can be successful.
Well, coaches, thanks for coming on, and good luck on Friday.
The Coach's Corner, sponsored by Texas Sports Monthly. Let's get back to the AM 1300 The Zone Studios and your host, Russell Dowden.
All right, back to the Friday Night Countdown and 1300 The Zone. So there, that was Regents. You're right, that's a good point. Program's been around since 2000.
Five state titles. Three of those, though, they started off as a six-man program. Three of those were as a six-man program. Two as a 11-man program. They also played for the state title each of the last 2 years.
It's quite the laboratory.
Yeah. lost two years ago on a missed extra point in overtime. So those kids know how to play, and they got Wimberley tonight. They don't really play public schools too often. This is their first public school opponent since Florence in 2011. So apparently him and Doug Warren had kind of been sort of talking about maybe playing for a few years now, and this year just kind of worked out, you know. That's the game I'll be going to after this, and should be a good game. Wimberley needs to get back on the winning way. They've lost three in a row. They're going to get off the schneid, you know.
He's probably got a young team. Coach Warren's got a young team this year.
He's in a rebuilding year. Yeah. He had seven guys go sign FBS. FBS after last year. I was surprised by that. I read that recently.
They multi-sport athletes?
Some of them were. I mean, JoJo Weeks, the quarterback, he was a baseball player. He was originally committed to play baseball at Texas State and then got a UTSA football offer after what he did last year on the football field. Mm-hmm. Cade Stover went to UTSA as well, and offensive lineman Ian, I can't read my handwriting again, is going to TCU. I need to learn to write better.
Well, just like a doctor in a laboratory.
So that program, that'll be a good matchup.
This will be fun. I mean, Regents is 3-1 in the year. They actually had a 26-game regular season win streak snapped last week in a 36-15 loss to Central Catholic of San Antonio. But they have a really strong three-headed running back monster. Wilson Long has 374 yards, four touchdowns. Andrew Adams has 285 yards, four touchdowns. And Josh Montgomery has 170 yards and a score. They got a solid team. Wimberley, meanwhile, dude, their defense is giving up 41.8 points per game on the season so far.
They just
aren't stopping anyone, and they're just not getting the same quarterback plays they had last year with JoJo Weeks. They're completing on their three-game losing streak, completing less than 50% of their passes. Their yards per game has dipped from 450 to about 325. You know, but Wimberley has a lot more students than Regents. You know, so Regents, if they were a public school, would probably be like a 3A school. So a good 3A school, obviously. But this will be an interesting game. You know, Wimberley, again, they got to
probably evenly matched.
They need to get some confidence going into district play because they play in a really tough district now. Now that Cuero joined their league along with Geronimo Navarro, they need to get some confidence going into that thing. And for Regents, you know, this is just an opportunity, man. You know, they don't have these again, first public school game since 2011. They don't get these opportunities too often. So I think they're going to be excited to play.
What about next team? We discussed...
You know, Georgetown has a really big game tonight.
Yeah, who do they got?
They're going all up to Stephenville as my my Uncle David used to pronounce it.
Oh, yeah.
Stephenville.
Stephenville.
Nice.
Stephenville.
He makes some good ribs, too, doesn't he?
So, yeah, Stephenville's 2-2, but they've played a dog of a schedule. They lost to Argyle in their opener, who is number one in Class 4A, according to the AP poll, and they lost to Midlothian Heritage 26-21 last week. They are top five, according to Dave Campbell's Class 4A Division 2 ranking. So even though Stephenville's 2-2, they are still, I think they're number six in the Dave Campbell's Class 4A Division 2 rankings because, well, you know, they lost pretty reasonable good games to teams that were already ahead of them. They have the perfect offensive balance. 126 runs, 126 passes. Hmm. Works out just perfectly like that.
I wonder if they purposely did that.
That'd
be great
know.
If the coaches are really weird about that numbers-wise, and like he saw too many runs. Like, no, pass it. I don't care if we're up 48-0. Pass it. I need even that stuff out because I need to touch doorknob four times like that, too.
And I don't know who will be starting quarterback for them. Cole Strowley was the quarterback start their year. He got hurt. Cade Renfro came in last week, was 18-31 for 245 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. So don't know who will be starting this game. They scored a defensive touchdown in every game this year. Hmm. That was an interesting
That's pretty good.
Stat to come off of. And they have really good defensive stats, but I'm not sure if I really... You know how, like, high school, they keep their own stats, you know? And sometimes they'll...
Some of these
stats seem a little fluffed. I mean, they have 48 tackles for a loss through four games.
That could be, like, someone falling down, like, a half a yard behind it. And yet, second 11 and be like, hey... That's a loss.
The tackle numbers, they have a lot of guys with a lot of tackles. You know, you can give those assists away,
I'm
not going to go with their defense. I mean, their defensive numbers are amazing based on tackles for loss, all that. But I'm a little, I don't know.
You should go all Bob Woodward on them and just really dive into that team and be like, what's going on there, man?
And meanwhile, on the Georgetown side, this team is 3-0, and this is a school, I don't think we gave them enough hype before the year. You know, they're in the same district as Cedar Park and Hutto. We basically, on this show, were just like, oh, is it Cedar Park or Hutto? And Georgetown, look, they were so close.
They lost a thriller at Cedar Park last year.
Well, their three losses were by a combined 6 points. They lost to Hutto on a last-second field goal.
Yeah.
They lost to Cedar Park on a last-minute touchdown. And then they lost to eventual state champion College Station in the second round by three.
Right.
So probably the best 9-3 program in the state, maybe you could say.
And we're talking about Georgetown team. The next two games, Hutto at home. At Cedar Park the following week.
Yes, sir. Yes, man. October 12th.
That's right.
What a night. That's going to be. Super Card of Honor. Cow.
That's some big football that week coming up in two weeks from now.
And I think the reason we all kind of slept on Georgetown is because they didn't have, like, you know, again, they didn't win the district last year. They finished third place. And they don't have, like, the name brand. They don't have a Chase Griffin, like, name, you know, that we can, like, latch on to. You know, Cooper Bell was the quarterback last year, put up great numbers. He's at
that
Tennessee.
Dude. Yeah, they're missing the dude.
Yeah, he's at Tennessee Chattanooga right now. But their defense is playing lights out. They were giving up just 3.6 yards per play in their first two games. Against Wiley, they won 31-7, gave 199 yards on 58 plays. Against Waco, they won 17-7, gave up 220 yards on 58 plays. And in one of those games, you know, they gave one touchdown each game. One of those was a special teams touchdown, so they really only gave up one touchdown the first two games. Last week, they beat San Antonio South Sand 45-25, but that was 45-12 going into the third quarter, so I'm pretty sure those last 13 points was scored against, you know.
Garbage time.
Yeah, garbage time, bench guys, so I'm pretty sure the numbers were a lot less than they actually were. They still held them under 5 yards per play, but I'm guessing it was probably more around four for when the starters were in. Their quarterback, Jackson Sison, you know, he really wasn't, first two games, definitely was not putting up Cooper Bell-type numbers. They were 7.6 yards per play last year. They were 5.35 going into the game last week, but then Jackson lit it up. 303 yards, four touchdowns, no picks, 19-27 passing, and Xavier Torres had 104 yards and two touchdowns on the ground on 17 carries. Defensively, they forced 10 turnovers already, six interceptions, four fumble recoveries. They got a linebacker named Taylor Bell, a transfer from Yakima, Washington. I don't know if y'all know, but y'all know anyone from Yakima, Washington?
I know someone gets flown in here because they're getting a new job.
I've known a few. Dude, you don't want to mess with people from Yakima, Washington. I know some people from there. And Cooper Kupp is actually from Yakima, Washington as well.
Is that right? Coach Dean's doing good up there in Georgetown.
Oh, he's doing excellent. I think they got a team. And I think we made a big mistake when we just talked,
Let's see what they do the next 3 weeks.
Well, that defensive coordinator is David Patterson, and he's the DC and linebackers coach over there. I didn't know they were doing that good defensively. Though,
yeah, they're doing an excellent job. I mean, this Bell kid has, what do I got him at? I got him at 26 tackles on the year so far. And I watched a little bit of his huddle tape. He just gets out. He sheds blocks. He has an eye for the ball, knows how to get there, knows how to dissect plays. Really good dude.
And Coach John Myers, the DB's coach for them, too. Yeah.
And then Gage Leggett in the secondary, younger brother of Caden Leggett, who was their stud receiver last year. That's now at Texas Tech. He has two interceptions in the secondary, two of those six picks that they got. So, I mean, if Georgetown is playing defense like this, that Hutto game.
So that Hutto game is going to be a nice game. No, that is next week.
At home, too, for Georgetown.
Yes, sir.
They're not going on the road for that one. They'll host the Hippos.
And again, they played them. They played them down the final second. Hutto needed a field goal at the buzzer to beat Georgetown last year.
I'm going to go to that one next week.
Oh,
that's the one to go to next week.
I'm going to go to my house after this.
My plan as well.
Yeah, really? Well,
no, not my plan to go to my house. Sorry. I was thinking I was a second behind.
No. Leander, you guys slumming at your football game.
What do we got for Leander tonight? They have Hendrickson. We said that earlier. What about Round Rock?
Round Rock plays Westwood. Yeah. It should be a good battle. Again, neither of these two teams will win the district, but as far as making the playoffs, this is a game that when the season ends. And
could
we
be fighting for the
this is a game that could end up deciding who gets that fourth spot. You know, we were talking about Round Rock last week, and I was talking about how, you know, they have these great receivers, Colin Sullivan and tight end Garrett Miller, who are both going to be playing D1 ball eventually. And I was like, they should probably, you know, get a quarterback and throw the ball more, you know. But Ryan O'Keefe, I can't argue with putting your best athlete at quarterback and playing run away from everybody when Ryan O'Keefe runs for 238 yards and 5 touchdowns on 12 carries last week. I mean, he may not be the best pure quarterback, but when you're putting up numbers like that, I can't argue with the, here, let's just give it to the best athlete, let him run around and do stuff. They won 67-41 versus McNeil. And O'Keefe was 7-for-8 for 39 yards through the air. Marquise Brown had 178 yards, 3 touchdowns on 25 carries, their senior running back. With those two in the backfield, man, I mean, it's a pretty devastating attack. They can just keep on pounding you with those two guys. Marquise is, you know, more the thunder. O'Keefe, more the lightning. O'Keefe had a 66-yard touchdown run up in the third quarter to make it 41-26. That kind of busted that game open. But, you know, defensively, man, they're not really stopping anyone. They've given up 40 points in two straight games. They give up 45 points per game last year. Meanwhile, on the Westwood side, they beat Vandegrift 27-7 last week. Sophomore quarterback R.J. Martinez was 17-25, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 pick. You know, he had a rough game against Hendrickson 2 weeks ago, but outside the Hendrickson game, he's completed 67% of his passes.
So Westwood beat Vandegrift?
No,
they beat Vista Ridge.
Oh,
sorry.
Vista Ridge. You said Vandegrift.
My bad.
Yeah, I didn't think that had happened yet.
But this, you know, last year Westwood won this game 45-41. O'Keefe in that game had buckle your seatbelts. In that game, Ryan O'Keefe last year had 358 yards rushing with 4 touchdowns on 25 carries.
Give him the rock.
Crappy defense.
And they lost.
And they lost
the game. Westwood,
against crappy defense.
Westwood receiver Cameron Thomas, who's now at Boise State, had 15 catches for 246 yards and 4 touchdowns. Round Rock had previously won 3 in a row against Westwood by an average score of 54-5. So they're going to look to maybe retake that rivalry.
Anthony Wood has in store for Round Rock tonight.
But this one's gonna have a lot of points, more than likely. Neither team, well, both teams have explosive offenses and not much of a resistance.
That one is
on the other end.
Kelly Reeves on Palmer Lane tonight. That one again, Westwood and Round Rock. That's a big district game. They do play Vandegrift at Kelly Reeves on October 19th. Westwood. But that won't be as an interesting of a game as Round Rock is.
Oh, yeah, this will be a fun game. Look, Westwood's going for their first winning season since 2012, you know, so they need every dub they can get, you know. They're looking to do big things. But O'Keefe, they got to find a way to stop O'Keefe. They got to find a way to keep him in the pocket, turn him into a passer. They can't let him run for 200, 300 yards. You know, that's just not going to do it, you know. A couple other big games. Cedar Ridge at Stony Point is interesting. Cedar Ridge is 2-2. Stony Point 3-0. Those boys are playing some defense right now, allowing just 15 points per game, 4.2 yards per play. I know, you know, I'm not sure most listeners really think of yard per play stats. They want yards per game, but I feel per play, you know, you want to. Efficiency is more important, and 4.2 yards per play would rank top 10 in college football.
Oh, yeah.
For those of y'all that don't keep track of that stat. Senior linebacker Cameron Williams leads the team in tackles for a loss, and interceptions. Offensively, they're averaging 33 points per game. Kyle Overton, not throwing the ball too much, 23 attempt, 38 attempts with 23 completions, 345 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Very important. Got to take care of the ball. And their running back, Tyler Cleveland, rushed for 231 yards and 2 touchdowns in the win against Leander, 33-9 win.
You know, I wanted to mention, I know that Chase Griffin, I wanted to touch on passing yard leaders for the week, and going into week 5. There's 3 or 4 I know that are way over 1,000 yards already. Chase is one. So is that McNeil quarterback.
Kiemper? Yeah. Right? I don't have his name memorized.
McNeil's quarterback is over 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he's balling. And again, McNeil, they lost to Round Rock last week. They scored 41 points.
They put up some numbers.
They just gave
Coach
up 67.
Coach McMahon, and that offense is moving the ball, at least in McNeil over there with the Mavericks.
Go Mavericks.
Who else is moving the ball offensively in the air as far as well, and that Georgetown quarterback, are they?
Yeah, well, again, Georgetown, first two games, not the last game, they were able to throw the ball pretty well.
Clearly, Tyler Anderson at Westlake is moving the ball pretty well.
Yeah, Lake Travis
in the air.
Yeah, good Lord, yeah, with that Lake
Hudson
Travis
Card
game 2 weeks ago. Yeah, Hudson Card, 300 yards passing and a half. I mean.
That
what
game ended.
Do?
That game had. Did that game end in weather? No.
No, they played it out.
The game ended in mercy.
And yeah, it was 42-7 at the half. Ended up 42-21 because Lake Travis just kind of took their foot off the gas in the second half. But, Hayes Bowie is also an interesting game going on tonight. That's
that is a good one.
25-6A. Again, another game. Neither of those teams are going to win district, but as far as playoff positioning, this is a big one. Bowie really banged up right now. Elijah Higgins, their star receiver, still has yet to play. Trinidad Sanders got hurt against Lake Travis. He's out. So, you know, Bowie, with their star receiver and star quarterback, turned to the ground game last week with 46 runs to just 6 pass attempts, and Kyle Carter rushed for a 186 and a touchdown on 18 carries. The team rushed for 329 yards overall in a win against Del Valle. Bowie, you know, Hayes and Bowie didn't play the last 2 years because they were in different districts. Last time they played was 2015. Bowie won 38-17. Hayes is 3-0. We talked about them last week.
Yeah.
They are really adjusting to Les Goad's slot T. They beat Anderson 35-3. They started the game with a 16-play, 75-yard touchdown drive that took almost 9 minutes. And the second quarter, they had an 8-minute touchdown drive. So they're just going to hold on the ball, ice that clock. But Bowie will probably do much the same. So,
good stuff. Be a good one. Hayes out there tonight in Buda. So we'll talk a little more high school on the other side of this break, and then we'll get into maybe a couple of NFL games, and I have a prediction for you about the Longhorns, TJ.
Win a game on the road.
We'll see if we win a game on the road, the Longhorns. All right, Friday Night Countdown. We'll be right back on the other side.
Mr. Tramp's Sports Pub is your home away from the man cave. Join us on Saturdays for College Game Day. UT fans are welcome and receive a free appetizer on game day wearing Horns gear. Mr. Tramp's offers great food, huge screens with sound, daily specials, and the best happy hour in North Austin. Check out our NFL action all day on Sundays. And Cowboys fans, when you show up in blue and white with a party of two or more, you receive a free appetizer. Mr. Tramp's offers special event seating for hosting private events and team meetings for sports groups. We host watch parties for the Tennessee Titans, Dallas Cowboys, and our home of the world champion Philadelphia Eagles.
That's the Eagles Nest, Cowboys fans. See you November 11th for the NFC matchup on Sunday Night Football.
Mr. Tramps is hosting a huge Halloween party this year. Come by Saturday, October 27th for great Halloween specials and live music from the B Vandals. Dress up for all the fun and the best sports in North Austin. Mr. Tramps, where North Austin goes for sports. 8565 Research Boulevard at Fairfield Lane. Visit us online at MrTramps.com.
Austin Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is proud to support Central Texas High School football. Dr. Kelso is a board-certified orthopedic surgeon who specializes in arthroscopic surgery, knees, and shoulders. He will keep you active and in the game. Book your appointment today. Call 512-339-0440.
The Friday Night Countdown on AM 1300 The Zone is sponsored by South Star Bank, offering mortgage and construction financing, commercial lending, and a full line of competitive deposit products. Learn more at southstarbank.com. Member FDIC.
Jen's Mums is currently taking orders for your school's mums for homecoming and prom season. All of Jen's Mums are handmade to order. Custom garters start at $40. Single mums begin at $50. Doubles are just $75. And triples are $100. Visit Jen's Mums on Facebook today to complete your order. That's Jen's Mums on Facebook. Or call in your order today. That's 512-496-5510. That's 512-496-5510. Please allow 72 hours for most orders. Call or visit today.
The Friday Night Countdown is sponsored by Absolute Propane, offering cylinder filling station, propane cylinder transportation, storage, and use. Absolute honesty, absolute integrity, absolute passion, absolute propane, and all that we do. That's Absolute Propane. Visit online at absolutepropane.com. Go Roberts Power Wash is a proud sponsor of Texas high school football. Specializing in residential driveways, walkways, solar panels, pools, cars, boats, fences, gutters, and grills. Commercially, Go Roberts Power Wash also supports parking lots, sidewalks, patios, fences, roof gutters, marinas, boats, cars, and more. Visit online at GoRobertsPowerWash.com. That's GoRobertsPowerWash.com. Jason's Deli Westlake welcomes you every day at 3300 Bee Caves Road. It serves bigger choices of better food for all four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and football. Feeding school spirit, it's a family thing. Visit jasonsdeli.com.
Someday, you'll be chatting around a large granite island. Someday, you'll have that home with an open floor plan and an outdoor fireplace. Someday. Wait, why can't someday be today? At Dries Custom Homes, our sales event is here. Homes in the Austin area from $400,000 to $1 million. Visit DriesHomes.com.
Jana Birdwell is proud to support Central Texas High School football. Your global real estate advisor, Jana, has unparalleled work ethic showcasing luxury, waterfront, and new construction homes in the Austin and Hill Country area. Jana Birdwell is part of Cooper Sotheby's International Realty. A native Texan, Jana offers extraordinary luxury marketing for your home or help looking for that perfect view under the Texas blue sky. That's Jana Birdwell, luxury real estate redefined. Call Jana Birdwell 512-784-8600. That's 512-784-8600.
AM 1300, The Zone.
Hey, man, whoa.
The Friday Night Countdown is hosted and produced by Russell Dowden and Texas Sports Monthly. The views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of the show's sponsors, advertisers, or iHeartMedia. The Friday Night Countdown is unscripted, and its content is solely the opinions of the show's staff and producers.
There, I said it.
We had a camera in here, so you can see the epic dance party that just happened to the nice smooth beat from the West Side. Right.
Welcome back to the Friday Night Countdown. I got my, I'm leaning to the left.
You're leaning something, all right.
And
not to the left.
I'm all about the pointer fingers when I dance.
It is. You know, it is. That's all I gotta do. Just move your hips a little bit back and forth here. Like, you were wondering where I was last Saturday, right? Or last Friday as well. We went to this couples Rise Together conference hosted by the Hollis Company, which is great. Shout out to them. I know they're probably not listening, but whatever. Great time with Sarah and myself. And
all
nice
right.
To do that. Great dance party as well. So if you ever with your lady and you want to score some brownie points, do not be afraid to go on the dance floor and just go for it.
Oh, break it down. Yeah.
Just go for it. Hello, Usher, yeah, a little Ludacris. It's good times.
You know,
just go off and do it.
When I dance, I don't even think about that I'm dancing. No. I just let the music flow through me.
That's right.
And I act.
Just stick
as
to
the
it.
The music commands me to act.
That's right.
You know, that's how you really do it, I think.
Next month in October's issue of Texas Sports Monthly, our high school coverage will again cover the Battle of the Lakes preview with Westlake and Lake Travis. But again, turns out there's a lot of other big games that week as well, as we've noted earlier in the show. Also profiled in the October issues, Dripping Springs, Weiss, Cedar Ridge, St. Andrews. You did an interview with Hudson Card as well as Garrett over there at Garrett Wilson at Lake Travis, and Coach Shank Carter.
Yes, sir.
Profiled as well in the October issue. Also, we did a story on. We've predicted that Drew Brees will become the all-time passing leader for the NFL by week 6, and that actually may happen this week.
Jeez, with the rules now for quarterbacks. Did you see last week at the Saints and Falcons game? Brees breaks out of the pocket, runs for a score, spin moves around a DB because that's possible. I've only seen that happen on Madden. And we ain't playing a Madden right there.
Drew Brees, 39 years old.
Broke out a spin move.
Yes, and scored. And then went over the top in overtime.
Yes.
For the touchdown.
It's amazing the rules nowadays where I saw a hit yesterday. It was a GIF for the Rams and Vikings game with Aaron Donald. Instead of sacking the kid.
But that's not the rules.
Cousins, yes. Instead of sacking him and laying him down, he grabs him by his shorts and just whips him down as hard as he can. What would hurt more, being whipped down as hard as possible?
Was that last night's game?
That was last night's
game.
Yeah,
I saw that play.
It was a great game.
That's the way to tackle now.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, you know, concussions. Well, the thing is, you can get whiplash from that, and you can get concussions just from a whiplash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
so it doesn't actually protect, like.
No, I'd rather lay him down and then, you know, like roll through. Like, sorry, Aaron Rodgers got hurt and ruined a bunch of fantasy football teams last year because Anthony Barr landed on him and a collarbone's very easily breakable. But yo, it's a lot easier to, you know, go through a tackle and through the motion and let the momentum carry you instead of just stop from a standstill and get thrown down like a rag doll.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, you know.
But that's a bad that. But Drew Brees with putting on those 39-year-old moves for those touchdowns. That's great stuff. But I mean, really, the bad is on the defense.
Oh, Atlanta Falcons.
The Falcons' defense gives up a lot of points every week.
Yeah.
And it's inside of a dome, too, which is the best.
And whoever that defensive back that missed the tackle on Drew Brees' spin move, dude.
He's going to be hearing about that. He's going to be hearing about that.
Can we talk about the DB that got his face smashed in by Vance McDonald last weekend? It made my little Pittsburgh heart grow five times as big as possible. Then I go to the hospital because my heart enlarged. But before that, though, the stiff arm, we threw the guy down and planted him on the IR afterwards.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal.
Conti, was it?
I don't care who it was. His face was just gone. Epic sportscasting.
That's apparently not the first. That's apparently not the first time he's been stiff armed real bad like that.
Really?
I saw there was another GIF that came out I saw on Twitter of him like a couple years ago just getting.
Just getting demolished.
Pwned.
Cleanly, too.
Yeah.
Cleanly. Saved Pittsburgh season right there. It saved the season. That one stiff arm. One stiff arm
in week,
saved
one the stiff arm in week three.
Yes. In a game where they're down like 14-0 at that point in time.
Season
they
saved.
They wanted to miss the extra point afterwards. Season saved.
So let's talk a little Big 12 action before, and we'll get back into the last few high school games before the show goes to break. But definitely rubbing in some Texas to you two clowns. We'll see if they went on the road. That's a good question. They didn't play well against Maryland in week one. So let's see if these guys, after three games in a row at home, beating Tulsa, USC, and TCU, see if those guys can play it all on the road this season.
Well, they should beat Kansas State. Kansas State's really just a bad football team right now.
Right.
And people are talking about the offense, but the defense isn't really playing very well either. In fact, defensively, they are 100th in yards per play and 98th in points per drive. So their defense statistically, by those metrics, are
worse
than the
offense. Defensively Texas at? I mean, they've given up
better the last 2 weeks.
Well, you know,
last two USC 14 points in TCU only 16.
The Maryland game just kind of just take that out and they're doing pretty well, especially in the second half. They outscored USC and TCU in the second half a combined 42-3.
Right.
In the second half of those games. So making the halftime adjustments.
In the third quarter, it was 14-16.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, Ellinger touchdown. Pick six, fumble recovery, and then
the defense.
After that, it was 31-16
boom,
all of a sudden.
Boom, boom, yeah.
Right.
No, they should totally steamroll Kansas State. You know, Maryland game, that was, you know, teams change as the year goes on. Maryland game is behind them. They're clearly playing a lot better football right now. They showed that last week against TCU.
Tom Orlando and that
But if you want to build the narrative that, you know, Tom Herman teams play up and down their competition, there is certainly enough evidence to build that narrative. Even going back to Houston. I mean, last year at Houston, they beat Oklahoma and Louisville. They also lost to Navy, Memphis, and SMU. You know?
And I think, you know,
and
that's the concern.
Last year, they played a lot of ranked teams close. Played Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, USC close, but then lost to Maryland, lost to Tech, and lost to...
Also, you think this too, all the noise is starting to creep inside their head. Oh, Texas is back. Oh, guess what? Ellinger, you're the next best Texas quarterback, just like McCoy and BY. Oh, win this game, and that gives us all momentum, because guess what next week is?
But I don't think
Next week?
They're not thinking saying
wait,
that.
Wait, next week, Oklahoma, Red River.
Well, the coaching...
We always play them well.
I get that, but you're going to give them momentum. Is this Kansas State an overhead game, though? Oklahoma.
I don't know if any of y'all read the Bruce Feldman article in The Athletic this week, but it was a really good look at how the Texas coaching staff is really trying to get this team focused on the moment.
That's
and
right.
Not caught up That's in right. the emotions of I saw the game. That. You know, Tom Herman's quote was, you know, the downfall of this program has been the highs are too high and the lows are too low. Right. And he was pleading with him after the USC game, don't read your mentions, your Twitter mentions. Now, I don't know what it's like. I'm not popular on Twitter. Right. I don't know what it's like to have mentions or anything like that, but I'm sure it's something that you really have to work on tuning out if you have the followers that a lot of these UT football players.
No one's sliding into your DMs?
Dude, no.
You don't go into Lawrenceville and go, Lawrenceville, what's good? And people come sliding into your DMs.
But
it's in Oklahoma, though. That's the game that if Texas is back, if they're back to that Big 12 title contending.
Look, I disagree with that because they beat OU in Charlie Strong's second year in a year OU.
Yeah, you
the
don't
college
know
football playoff,
what happens with them.
And
Jude.
No, Texas is not back. We just need to stop. Texas will not, to me, and Texas will not be back until I see back-to-back 10-win seasons. When I see back-to-back 10-win seasons, I will say Texas
is
back.
Well, you could say they're
until
back
then,
if they win 10
Texas
wins.
Is just another football team, okay? And that's how they have to view it. As long as they keep trying to jump to the Texas back conclusion, they're going to fall in but stupid like games like this to Kansas State.
I read it just to reiterate what I said in going into week one. I think the team will improve by 2 wins from last season. So that's 9 wins with a bowl game.
It's looking that way.
That's probably where they're going to end up. If they end up with 10, great.
If the coaches can keep this message in their head, there's something else, you know, that Charlie or that Tom Herman was saying is how momentum is an illusion. Now, I don't believe that. And personally, I don't think Tom Herman believes that. But I think it's a smart thing to say to your players right now to get, you know, because college football, you know, I mean, college football is emotional, you know, and you don't want your players riding that emotional roller coaster. You know, you want them just playing ball,
Okay, I'm sorry. Good fish.
You saw this after the Maryland and Tulsa game, too. You know, Tom Herman wasn't exactly in freakout mode, which had a lot of, you know, pundits saying, oh, he's not taking accountability. Oh, he's not, you know, he should be more upset when he was just trying to, you know, but I think that was Herman also just not letting the lows get too low, just like he's right now not letting the highs get too high. And if that message really is in, Texas will win this game easily. But I'm not sure if that message is truly in. I think Kansas State, they switch quarterbacks this week. Alex Delton will be starting. He is quite the runner. Bill Snyder's a heck of a coach. I'm sorry. I think he's one of the greatest coaches in college football history.
He's definitely one of the greatest of all time. I got the horns, though, probably by 10 in that
game.
You
don't say.
I got to link this back, though. To link Bill Snyder back to Texas High School football, former Dripping Springs coach.
Well, let's hear what you have to say.
I think 16 years is a long time, sir.
So there's a win probably coming.
16 years.
I got the horns. 31-24.
I'll say this. A running quarterback, Bill Snyder. He's reminiscent good. Of Colin Klein.
He is.
Colin Klein running all over Mack Brown in Texas. This is going to be a mucktastic game where it's just, next thing you know, it's fourth quarter and it's 10-7.
Let's jump to a little couple of NFL. Houston Texans are taking on the Colts this weekend.
And awful.
Oh, God.
Not a big Texans. Watching game.
Deshaun Watson is king of the garbage time. I'll just say that much.
Yeah. I just.
But Colts aren't playing that well either, so I don't know on that one. That's a pass. That's a up in the air game there.
Well, they guys protect. Their offensive line just is not protecting Deshaun Watson right now.
Has anybody seen Lamar Miller?
He's been doing pretty good.
Has he been?
They're running game. They've actually been running the ball. They've been running the ball. They're just not throwing the ball. And then Watson's kind of throwing interceptions. I don't want to talk about the Houston Texans right now.
And then who do the Cowboys have at all, just for the Texas fans?
That is quite the thing. Well, I looked that up. I will say this. We're talking about college football teams coming well. Texas Tech,
West Virginia.
Now 3-1.
This is what I want to talk about. This is what I want to talk about. Texas Tech, they took Oklahoma State down last week.
Got about a minute. Got a wrap.
They ran the ball. Okay. Texas Tech, West Virginia. Should be a good game. Let's get
Texas Tech, West Virginia. It's going to be West Virginia on that one, Steve.
I agree.
Who's at home?
I mean,
it's in Lubbock, though.
In a shootout, you know, I like the better quarterback. Will Grier is the more proven quarterback compared to Alan Bowman, even though Bowman is playing fantastic for a true freshman.
All right, the Friday Night Countdown up next. Joe Taylor and the Westlake Chaps. Westlake Chaps taking on Layman. That's right. Layman was Westlake. So up next with those guys, I'm Russell Dowden. This is the Friday Night Countdown. We'll see you next week, guys, on AM 1300 The Zone.
The Friday Night Countdown is sponsored by Absolute Propane, offering cylinder filling station, propane cylinder transportation, storage, and use. Absolute honesty, absolute integrity, absolute passion, absolute propane, and all that we do, that's Absolute Propane. Visit online at absolutepropane.com.
Go Roberts Power Wash is a proud sponsor of Texas high school football. Specializing in residential driveways, walkways, solar panels, pools, cars, boats, fences, gutters, and grills. Commercially, Go Roberts Power Wash also supports parking lots, sidewalks, patios, fences, roof gutters, marinas, boats, cars, and more. Visit online at GoRobertsPowerWash.com. That's GoRobertsPowerWash.com. Jason's Deli Westlake welcomes you every day at 3300 Bee Caves Road. It serves bigger choices of better food for all four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and football. Feeding school spirit, it's a family thing. Visit jasonsdeli.com.
Someday, you'll be chatting around a large granite island. Someday, you'll have that home with an open floor plan and an outdoor fireplace. Someday. Wait, why can't someday be today? At Dries Custom Homes, our sales event is here. Homes in the Austin area from $400,000 to $1 million. Visit DriesHomes.com.
The Friday Night Countdown is sponsored by Dirty Martin's Comeback Burgers on the Drag. Serving up great-tasting burgers, fries, and shakes on the 40 acres since 1926. Come on by Saturdays for the game and check out our cold draft beers on tap and the selection from the full bar. If you bleed orange on Saturdays, bring the family on down to Dirty Martin's for a comeback burger and enjoy some hot onion rings or a frosty milkshake. That's Dirty Martin's on Guadalupe. A Longhorn tradition since 1926.